Turn to Psalm chapter 126, Book of Psalms, and we'll be in chapter 126. And we will read from there, and we will get going in this thing tonight. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being faithful to the church house on a Wednesday night during the middle of the week. I appreciate you being here, if nobody else does, and I appreciate y'all singing and enjoying yourself in church and worship, and it's a blessing to me, amen. Chapter 126, if you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, we'll read all the way through it. It's only six verses, so we'll read all the way through it, and the Bible says it's a song of degrees here. And when the Lord, the Bible says in verse number one, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hey, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you meet with us tonight. Lord, please, I beg you, Lord, that your will be done in this service. And Lord, that you would give clarity. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, ease my mind. And Lord, I pray that you would bring all things to remembrance. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we got to get the context on it. I think that it's pretty self-explanatory. If you know anything about your Bible, you know that this is in reference to the captivity of Judah. 70 years, Judah was held captive by Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar came in and he conquered and sacked Jerusalem, if you will. And several times he'd come in and conquered around, but in Jerusalem. He conquered Jerusalem in, I think, 608 B.C. or sometime around that time. This is 538 B.C. or somewhere near that time when they were, the exile, the captivity was over. And the song that was sung was this song that we just read in chapter 126. I believe, if we'll let it tonight, this same song can speak to us. Matter of fact, as I was reading, I couldn't help but have my mind go back to the pandemic, all right? For many people, I guess the pandemic is not over yet. For me, it is over, all right? I'm like done with it. I need somebody to say, man, you don't have to don't get mad at me if you're still in the pandemic. I'm out of it. I'm done with it. I'm through with it, all right? But I couldn't help while I was studying to think about this pandemic and what our churches are experiencing right now, here and today. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I hope that you'll see that as well. But it may come on a more personal level with you. There may be something that's been holding you back. There may be something that's been holding you captive. There may be something that has been restraining you. And this may apply in your life through application of Scripture. It may apply in your life in a more personal matter. So as we look at this tonight, I want to look at three things. That's all I'm going to give you and we'll be done, all right? Now, I ain't going to tell you how many subpoints I got or any of that, but I only got 3 points. Y'all ought to rejoice, all right? A lot of my sermons are 4 points, so I cut one whole point out for y'all, okay? And so I could do it quicker, okay? Now, but as we look at this, I want you to look at their release, all right? Number one, their release. I entitled this thing, when God turns things around. When God turns things around. And as we see in Scripture, it was God that turned things around for Judah and the children of Israel, or the Jews here. And they sang a song about it. We see their release. We see their situation. I want to go ahead and get into this because I'm going to give you a lot of the background. I've already given you some, but I want to give more background into what is going on here. As we know, they are being held captive, but what you may not know, and some of the things that you may not know, is that while they're being captive, or while they're being held captive, the people that remember Israel as it once was, and Jerusalem as it once was, are dying off. The people that are there now, they've just heard stories about what Jerusalem used to be. They've only heard stories about how the temple was. They've only heard stories about the way it used to be. And ain't that just like church nowadays? We tend to focus on the nostalgia. We tend to focus on the past, and we'll talk about how great things were for some of you that's been here with us for a long time and remember when we had church services back in there in that building, and we packed all those people into that little old area, and man, we get to worshiping God and weeping and crying on the altars, and people testifying, people standing up in the middle of services and getting saved. And we can go back and we can look at all those things and say, my, how old the good old days. I need somebody to help me right here. If I don't, I talk about the good old days all the time. I did it with my mama this morning. Me and my mama was talking, and maybe it was yesterday. I don't remember when I talked to my mom. But anyhow, me and her was talking, and she was telling me about these kids nowadays, and she says she just didn't understand why these kids now, and she's just going, I said, time out, Mama. I said, these kids ain't raised like we were, and these kids definitely ain't raised like you were. I said, we're looking at these kids and we're saying, oh, I can't believe the disrespect of these kids, but the fact of the matter is, it's the parents. Yeah, and we sit there, we like to reminisce about the good old days, amen. I can say, hey, me and Michelle's been married 30 years, and there'll be about 10 of you in here, well, bless God, we've been married for 40. We've been married for 50, all right? We go back, we like to reminisce, if you will, and that's exactly where they were at. They didn't know, most of these folks didn't know how good church could actually be. They had never experienced the temple. They had never experienced Jerusalem and all of its beauty. All they had known was captivity. All they had known was being held captive and not are being restrained. And man, that is where the church is at today. Many of the people that come into these doors have never experienced church. They come in and they sit down, and man, if we have a move of God, they're like, what just happened? Where? What in the world just happened? Preacher, I don't know what happened. I'll never forget Miss Tammy Wallace. Miss Tammy Wallace, when me and her got on the phone the day that she got saved, she said, I don't know what you did to me, but I want you to get it off. Amen. And that is how church ought to be. We ought to come into church and experience God. We ought to not only hear the word of God, but we ought to experience God. That's what it's about. That's what coming and meeting with Him and in His presence, because in His presence, you can get more help than you'll ever get in counseling. You'll get more help than you'll ever get in preaching. In His presence, God can do some things. So they're released. We see their situation, and most of these folks, they had never even known what it was like to be free. They'd never even known what it was like to live in Jerusalem and what it was like to worship in the temple. They had never seen those kind of things. But for those of them that could remember, maybe there was a few that could remember as a child, they might remember what it was like. The Bible tells us in Psalm 136, and I was actually studying this psalm when I ended up at Psalm 137. I was studying this psalm when I ended up at 126. I want to read you just the first few verses of it, and it says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing as one of the songs of Zion. Verse number 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And this is where they were at. Here they are, these harpists, and the Bible says that they were in such sorrow as they remembered what Zion was, that they had hung up their harps and they had quit singing. Listen to me. They had literally quit singing. And they said, our captors, they wanted us to sing a song of Zion. They wanted us to sing with joy. But how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Are y'all getting what I'm throwing down right now? Hey, you got two groups of people. One that's never seen it, Brother Scott. One that's never experienced. And they're living this nightmare of being captive. But you have those that have a remembrance of what it was and what God did and how God moved. And yet they were the ones that had hung up their hearts. They were the ones that had quit praising the Lord. They were the ones that had quit singing the songs of Zion. They were the ones that said, it's no use. And I see this in churches. You have one group, they've never seen God move. You got another group that they've seen God move and they think it never happened again. And what ends up happening is both of them groups get together and God gets left out. I need somebody to help me. Now listen, we can talk all we want to about the sorrow of being captive. But the fact of the matter is that we worship God because of who He is, not because of what He done for us. And so there's never a time, I need somebody to help me, y'all. There's never a time where you and I should be hanging a harp up in a tree and be done singing and praising God. So as we look at their release, we see their situation, we see their sorrow. But I want you to notice this. I wrote this down, and this was one of them add-ons. Their shaping. See, the whole reason that they were in captivity was because of the sins of Judah. But most of the sins of Judah and those that had committed those sins and those that had caused this grief and this captivity of the Lord, they were long gone. I hope you're getting what I'm saying right here. They were long gone. God had begun removing things out of their life that didn't need to be there. During this time of captivity, God was shaping them. God was shearing them. God was pruning them. Oh, y'all, come on now. As you look at this situation, you see their sorrow, but you see their shaping. Don't miss this. The whole time, God had a plan. 70 years of captivity, but God was doing a work. Though God may have been silent in their lives, and though God may not have been as talkative in their life, God was still working in their lives. Their release was because of God's sovereignty. We see their situation, their sorrow, their shaping, but we see God's sovereignty. Cyrus, the pagan king, used by God to capture Babylon from King Belshazzar, who didn't get to be king long, by the way. If he was in Bible college last night, I think it was last night, he didn't get to be king very long. Amen. His daddy left him because Darius was coming through town. So his daddy run off and said, hey, you can be king. And later that night, Darius come in and killed him. And so he got to be king for a party. I wouldn't even call it a day, all right? And so, but Darius was under the command of Cyrus. Cyrus, the Bible speaks of back in Isaiah, God said that he would use Cyrus to deliver the children of Israel, and that's exactly what he did. God delivered into Cyrus's hands the Medes and the Persians. He delivered Babylon into their hands, and then Cyrus set them free. Just like that. As we look at their release, I want you to notice that they were set free by God's sovereignty. They had nothing to do with it, and it happened in a moment. Unexpected. Say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that God can do great things in your life. He can release you in a moment. And he doesn't need your instruction on how to do it. He doesn't need you to let him know how the best fit and the best way to do this. God has already got your release planned out. As you look through Scripture, we see Job. The Bible says the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And maybe your time's coming through a prayer for a friend. Maybe your time's coming through a prayer and a supplication for yourself or for somebody else. But your time is coming. I need somebody to help me. You won't always be in captivity. And we see their release tonight. Let me ask you a question. Are you living in captivity? Maybe you're being held captive because of something that you did. I preached Sunday school the other day, and somebody came up to me and said, I needed that. I needed that. I needed to hear that. Because I've allowed some things in my past to creep back up on me. Hey, listen here. It's amazing how much we are in captivity and don't even realize it until God points it out and shows us, hey, there's some things that you're dealing with that you ain't got to be captive to. And maybe that's your case tonight. Maybe it was a bad decision. Maybe it was a bad relationship. Maybe it was a bad financial investment. Maybe it was something else. Maybe there's something that's holding you captive. Maybe there's something that's got you in fear. Do you know that God could release you? He could release you tonight. I notice their release. Number two, I notice their return. Their return. I notice physically their return to Jerusalem. I notice their return to Jerusalem. There was no temple. There was no walls. If you know your Bible, you know that Ezra went to rebuild the temple. You know that Nehemiah went to build the walls. But at this time, in Psalm chapter 126, Jerusalem was laid to waste. Her walls were torn down. The temple was torn down. Their vineyards had been laid waste for 70 years. They had not been tilled. They had not been taken care of. They had not been, none of this was done. For over 50 years, we know that there wasn't nothing that took place in these vineyards. Don't seem like that's an exciting thing to be headed back to. Huh? Is everybody all right? And apparently it wasn't. Because if you know the history of the Bible, you'll know that only a remnant returned. Man, I hope y'all are getting this like I'm trying to get it out. There was only a remnant that returned. There was a lot. Hey, there was a release that took place and a release that says, hey, you can go back to the things that, let me say it like this. Hey, you can go back to the things that are normal. But some, they couldn't even remember what normal was. Some said, I remember what normal was, bless God. Amen. I remember the good old days. But as they had an opportunity to return, not all of them went back. Boy, it breaks my heart. One of the things that breaks my heart most about this whole pandemic is the people, good people that got caught up in a pandemic because the government gave them an out. Now the devil's got a hold of it and they ain't in church no more. Oh, but they're godly and they're going to, they love the Lord and all this stuff, but you ain't been back to church. It's been over a year now. It's sad. They go to their job. They go to their ball games. They throw pictures out there. And then when I ask, hey, when y'all can come back to church? Well, we can't come back to church. We're not sure the pandemic is over yet. Well, you're not living like the pandemic is still going on. It's amazing to me. And it's sad. It's sad. I'm not saying that to be mean. It's sad. Because there are people that I worked hard. There are people that I worked hard to get in church. And the people that I worked hard to get, try to get somewhat grounded. And then all of a sudden, because of circumstances beyond our control, they're out of church. And God's given an okay. And we can return. But yet, many aren't returning. Many aren't returning. Now, the Lord's blessing. Everywhere I look, churches are experiencing people coming and people, man, they're excited. Man, we've experienced, and man, it's wonderful. But some of the folks that ought to be here aren't here. Some of the folks that should be here, some of the folks that should have been back and should have been headed back to Jerusalem aren't headed back to Jerusalem in our story. And it actually caused in verse number, I think it's in verse number 4, it says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as a stream in the south. As you study that verse right there, it literally means that they were mourning and they were crying out to God, turn again our captivity. In other words, the people of the remnant that's not coming, the folks that are not coming back, turn them away from the captivity. And he says, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And a little bit of study on this, the area in the south of Israel, in south of Israel, got real dry. Matter of fact, it doesn't get but like 8 inches of rain in an entire year. But when it does rain, it doesn't take very much rain, and it's like a torrential rain. Matter of fact, when we was over there, there was one town that was flooding while we were over there visiting. We wasn't in the town that was flooding, but they were all over the news. It had rained there, and the town was just flooding. There was water like a river, stream, just, but it looked like the rapids running through town and stuff. And that's how it is over there. And anyhow, this is a reference to that. And how that rain will come and them streams will come. And after that rain goes through and all that water moves out, it's plush and green. New growth, beautiful, useful again. As we look in this, we see physically their return. They returned to Jerusalem. There was no temple. There was no walls. And there was opposition from within and without. If you know the book of Nehemiah, you know that there was opposition from within and persecution from without. Opposition and persecution. Due to the length of captivity, many Jews had settled in Babylon. Babylon, of course, is a typology of the world. Many had settled in Babylon and refused to go back to Zion. I see their return not only physically, but their return spiritually. In verse number 2, the Bible says, when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. The Lord had done great things for us, whereof we are glad. So we see their return physically, but their return spiritually, we see their worship. They gave God glory and praise in verse number 4, or verse number 3 rather. The Lord hath done great things for us. They didn't say Cyrus had done great things for us. They said the Lord had done great things for us. In other words, they were back focused spiritually on God. Those that returned got back focused on God. I'm going to say it again. Those that returned got back focused on the Lord. Though Cyrus had a great part in releasing them, it was God who released them. They had spent enough time in captivity that they had realized that there was a God in heaven that was still interested in their life. And it was Him that was working behind the scenes. Though He used somebody ungodly to release them, it was God who was working the entire time to release them back to Zion. Zion, by the way, is a picture of Jerusalem. And it is a reference to Jerusalem. A place, listen to me, Jerusalem, a place that was known where God would dwell with His people. Amen. We've been turned loose to Zion as well. A place where you and I can come back and dwell with God. Their worship spiritually. We see their return spiritually. We see their worship. We see God. They gave God glory and praise. And we see their witness according to the Bible. In verse number 3. Verse number 2. The end of verse number 2. They said. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. This was the testimony of those on the outside that was looking at what God was doing on the inside. Those Gentile nations that had probably mocked and made fun for 70 years of the ruins of Judah were now saying, God's back. Look at what God's done. Look at how God's doing it. We see spiritually their return. We see spiritually their worship and their witness. Now, number three, we see their release. We see their return. And number three, we see their responsibilities. Their responsibilities. The Bible says in verse number five, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. As we look at the passage of Scripture, this is how the Lord spoke to me. God released them, Brother Jesse, but they were still work to do. God released them, but there was work to do, Brother Herman. Because the walls were torn down. The temple was not rebuilt. Jerusalem had been laid to waste. All the farmlands had been laid to waste. There was work to be done. Even though they were set free, there was work to be done. They had responsibilities. Even though, listen to me, some of you have been released from some things. Some of you have gotten through your captivity, but there's still work to do. As you look at this passage of Scripture, if there's anything that I got out of it, it was this. Somebody's got to go do some sowing. Because without any sowing, there's no reaping. And whether you want to put that in farming terms and you want to believe that in farming terms or whether you want to believe that however, unless you sow some things in your life, you're never going to reap. What good is it, Miss Callie, if God's released us and then we just sit there and we just let our lives go to waste? Y'all got to help me tonight. What good is it if God's given us a release, if God has released us and let us return back to Him, if we just allow ourselves to lay waste? Not do anything with it. God's given us a second chance. Could you imagine? Hey, them people hung up their harps in those trees because they said, you know what? It's over. I'm never going to get to see this again. I'm never going to get to see the glory of God again. I'm never going to get to see the Shekinah glory fall from heaven again. I'm never going to get to see these things. And they just got discouraged and they said, it's not even worth singing anymore. Amen. And yet, without any warning, unexpected, Brother Kenny, God released them. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? God's released us. What are we going to do with it? We're going to sit back and reminisce about the good old days? Man, I sure remember. Y'all remember? Y'all remember when gas was 65 cents? Come on now, I need somebody to help me. Don't be talking about 39 cents. See what I mean? Somebody's always got to one-up you on gas, all right? I can remember when there wasn't no internet. I can remember when there wasn't no computer. Well, I can remember when there wasn't no car. Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Jim, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that to you. I shouldn't have done it. We go back, you can go back. I can remember. But if that's all we're focused on, then we're going to miss out on the opportunity that God's given us. You understand what I'm saying tonight? God's given us a chance. When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, says we were like those that dream. In other words, it was, is this real? I thought things were just gonna go downhill. We got another chance. God, you're giving me another opportunity. Yeah, that's this grace. God, you're going to give me, I got another opportunity with my life. Sure do. Sure do. Not because you earned it. Not because of anything that you did. God's grace. Once again, he's working with some heathens and some pagans up there in Washington. But hey, I need somebody to help me right here. It was God's grace and God's sovereignty that turned us loose. Now what are we going to do with it? We got some responsibilities. What responsibility do we have? Go to work. We got to go to work. We got to go sow some things. What are we going to sow? And you need to be careful, because whatever you sow, you know this, you're going to reap it. I need somebody to help me. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Whatever you sow, what little bit you sow, you're going to reap more. Yeah, when you sow, it ain't going to be immediate results, so don't get discouraged, but you will reap. And listen here. Listen to the scripture there in the last verse. It says this. It says, he that goeth forth and, say it with me, weepeth. Ready? I'm going to say it again. He that goeth forth and weepeth. Going to be some tears sometimes when that sowing takes place. It ain't always going to be easy, Brother Jesse. It ain't always going to be easy to go out there and sow into others. It ain't always going to be easy to go in there and sow into our life. Sometimes we're going to do it with tears. Sometimes we're going to have tears in our eyes while we're out there sowing things into our life. But the verse didn't end there. It says, bearing precious seed, that means sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his seeds with him. No, that ain't what it says. That ain't what it said. It's bringing his what now? Sheaves. His sheaves. That's different from his seeds. That way we bearing precious seed, but we're bringing back sheaves. And don't let the words fool you, and don't let my playing with you fool you. The fact of the matter was that though they sowed in tears, they reaped those sheaves was the harvest. It says, you doubtless, you're going to come again with rejoicing, bringing the harvest with you.
Amen.
I don't know who needs to hear it tonight. Maybe it's just me that needs to hear it tonight. But God's turned some things around.
That's right.
I really believe that. I truly believe that. God's turned some things around.
Right.
And now, it's time for us to go to work.
Amen.
There's walls that need to be built. There's walls that's got holes in them. Now, you got to know your Bible, Brother Jesse, but if you know Nehemiah, the way they built them walls was each man built a wall in front of his house. See, they didn't get a committee together. They didn't get a committee together and a construction crew and say, now listen, we're going to start on this end and we're going to just work our way around. No. According to the Bible, every man worked on the wall that was in front of his house.
Amen.
And that is how the holes in the wall were rebuilt. And listen to me. We look around here. Is everybody all right? You look around you right now where you're sitting at, and there's some holes. They some holes. It's just the fact of the matter was, not everybody came back. Only a remnant came back. Not everybody came back, so there were some holes that are,
right.
Are left. And listen to me. Don't think that it was just, don't think for 1 second that it was just our church or the local church or anything. This thing's going on nationwide. I mean, there's holes, gaps to be filled. God has put a new song in my heart. He's given me laughter again in my spirit. And I feel like the captivity, the chains have fallen off, but I want to make sure that I recognize that there's some holes that need to be filled.
Amen.
And I ain't nothing more than I'd love than to have them same people come fill them holes, but I can't count on that, and I can't wait for that.
Right.
I can't count on that, and I can't wait for that. I can't say, God, now we're going to fill the church up again, but it's only if everybody else comes back. That's not what I'm here to do. That's not what you're here to do. We're to sow. We've been given another opportunity. We've been released. We've been turned loose. We've come back. It's time for us to start sowing. It's time for us to start, even though it's in tears over some that ain't back. It's time for us to start patching the holes. Amen. It's time for us to start building the temple back. Because I don't know about you, but some of you that's experienced, I'm going to go ahead and say this, and I hope it don't run nobody off, the Shekinah glory. We've seen God's glory. We have seen God move. I don't want it to just be a memory. I want it to be something like it was in that building, something like it was here, where every Sunday you walk in there and it was God. You couldn't move without bumping into God.
Amen.
Because they got things in order. They rebuilt the temple. They rebuilt the walls. They sowed into the ground and reaped the harvest. Because this pandemic, I wrote this down, and it's up there, but I wrote this down. This exile for Judah laid waste to Jerusalem, laid waste to its walls, laid waste to the temple, laid waste to the farmland, laid waste to the people. And this pandemic and personal captivities of our own life has done exactly the same thing.
Amen.
I believe God's released us. I think it's time that we get back, return, and start doing our responsibilities. Let's get to work. Rebuilding walls, rebuilding temples, sowing into the ground so we can reap a harvest, and helping people. Verse number 4 was a prayer to God for the people that did not come back to Jerusalem with them. You don't see them getting on to them for not coming back. It was a prayer. God, turn their captivity. Man, I'm going to tell you what. The enemy knows how to bind us up. And he also knows how to keep us bound when God's released us. Tonight, she's going to come to that piano and we're done. But tonight, I wonder if you gather around the altar with me. Let's not allow this grace and this release that God has given us to be laid waste in our life. There's been enough damage done. Let's not allow it to continue damaging our lives. Heads bowed with me tonight. I'll say this, and as an invitation, this psalm in picture of the sower, there's a great example of the sower in Scripture. He sowed into our lives. He sowed salvation into our lives through His death. And you and I are getting to participate in the harvest of the work that was done on the cross. Maybe tonight you're in here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you've been wrestling with it. God's been moving around here. People have been under conviction. God's been working. Maybe that's you tonight. If you're in this building tonight and you honestly tell me, preacher, I do not know if I was to die where I'd spend eternity. I want you to do me a favor and just look right up at me. That's all I'm asking you to do. I won't embarrass you. I just want to know how to end the service. Preacher, I'm not sure. Is there anybody like that? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and God, thank you so much, Lord, for the truth of Scripture tonight. Lord, I pray that we've interpreted it correctly, and Lord, I pray that we've applied it correctly. Lord, I pray that you'd take the things that have gone on in our lives and in our day. God, let us see you working in it. Lord, to release us, to allow us to return, to begin building and rebuilding. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we get our sower's bag and put it on our shoulder and we go out there and sow some precious seeds. Lord, whether it be in joy or whether it be in tears, God, we know that you'll bring a harvest. God, we'll know that you'll allow us to reap. Lord, I pray that we'll sow in good things, Lord, that we may reap thereof. Lord, I pray for those that are still held captive, for those that have still not come back. God, I pray no ill will, no ill thoughts or saying anything about them. But God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would release them. Lord, that they may return. And Lord, that they too could join in on doing a great work of rebuilding, Lord, your glory. Lord, I pray in God's name, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you continue to bless this church and use us for the furtherance of the kingdom of God, and use us for the furtherance of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.